Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your anointing on this service today. Thank you, Father, that you lead us and guide us by your Spirit this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, and we praise you, Father. Yes, Father. Enlighten our hearts to hear your word and to be obedient in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, 2025 is upon us. There is a wise saying, you cannot keep doing the same thing and expect different results. It is implied in our goal to be more like Christ and to be all that he has called us to be. Implied in that goal is change. Like I like to say, you know, when Scripture talks about being conformed to the image of Christ, well, somebody's got to change, and it's not going to be Jesus. It's got to be us. We have got to be the ones that are changed. Yet most people hate change, usually because they fear it. There's even a word for it, metathesiophobia, the fear of change. But that's not where we want to be, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. We have been redeemed. Our sins have been forgiven. We have been given the Holy Ghost, the power of God. And therefore, we can courageously embrace change and see the fullness of God's promises in our lives as a result of that change. So what I want us to do today is talk about change, is talk about how do we change? How do we motivate ourselves? How do we encourage ourselves to change? And the starting place for that is vision. Vision, that which defines us, and that which then propels our lives, empowers us to move forward. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. Because in keeping the law, what that implies is you're doing what the law, what the word says. And when you do what the word says, you have vision. In other words, you have a purpose, a goal, a dream, and therefore you are blessed. In Hebrew, the word vision means a dream, a revelation, an oracle. And in every place, it's translated vision. A vision is a dream, revelation, or a word from God about your identity, in other words, who you are in Christ, and therefore, because of you knowing who you are in Christ, therefore you can become all that he has called us to be. It could be a revelation, a word, a dream about your calling. What has God called you to do? To be more like Christ. What has God called you to do? To do this particular project or ministry. It could be your destiny and or, like I said, a project that you have. But you have to make it your own. And that is so important. You've got to have skin in the game, as they say. You got to be a stakeholder in that vision. So what does that mean? That means you've got to let God minister to you. You've got to let God show you. Let God encourage you. Let God teach you and train you. In Habakkuk 2:2, as Habakkuk is beginning to write his visions that he was having, said this, or I should say the Lord said this to him, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Write what I say to you. Write the word that I give you and make it plain on tables. In other words, write it out so they can be easily seen, that he that may run may read it. So in other words, to do it, to follow through on it. So we write it down so that we can follow through on it. And one thing I have seen and discovered is that if it's worth remembering, it's worth memorializing. Let me give you an example. I don't know, many of you have probably seen the movie Courageous, which is about fatherhood. And as a group of men were meeting together, one of them had been studying about what it meant to be a father. How do you father according to the Word of God? How do you lead and guide your family and your children? And he began to realize that there were a lot of things in his life that he was not doing. So he wrote up a list, a proposal, a commitment letter, and he presented it to his friends. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm giving you a copy. If you want to do it, I would be more than happy to have you join me in this. Well, one of the men took it home and showed it to his wife. His wife was really excited about it. But she said, if you're going to do this, you got to do it right. This has got to be ceremony. This has got to be something that is meaningful. So they actually framed the declaration that they were making. They got together and had a ceremony and announced before God and their families what they were going to do, how they were going to be the men of God, the fathers and husbands that God had called them to be. So they didn't just write it on a piece of paper, put it in a folder, put it in a filing cabinet, and forget about it. No, it was memorialized, it was hung on their wall, it was in front of them. Another example, a pastor that I know, he would do this every year as God would begin to give him visions for the next year. And he would write these out in detail, what God was showing him for his family, for his church, for him personally. He would write it out, and then he would get it printed on the finest paper he could find, linen paper. He would write it out. In some years, he would actually have it calligraphied. He'd have somebody write it out in calligraphy, and then he would put it in a real fancy folder, leather bound or whatever, so that because it was, this is God's word to me, and I am going to make it mean something, and because it does mean something. And so he would set it aside. He would sanctify it in a sense. So that might be something you might consider doing. Don't just write it out and have it in a notebook somewhere. No, put it in something special. Put it in something that's going to be something you can go back to. And you know that if it's in this place, that means it's important. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10 says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge, the intimate heart knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. In other words, that you would know the will of God, spend time with God, you allow Him to minister to you, to speak to you. We've been learning in this church how to hear the voice of God. So spend time with Him. Hear His voice. What does He have for you for 2025? And then It goes on in verse 10 that you might walk worthy. In other words, put it into action, which then, of course, is pleasing to God. And you will be fruitful in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God. As I have, as the Lord's been ministering to me recently, I begin to realize that there are three pursuits that man should have. The first one is pursue God with all your heart. Get to know Him. Get to know His ways. Get to know His heart. Understand who He is. Pursue God. And of course, we do that through His Word. The Word tells us that wisdom comes from God. Out of His mouth, in other words, His Word, out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So we pursue God. The second pursuit in life is to pursue love. Pursue to be a loving person. God has made His love dwell in our hearts. We are rooted and grounded in love. And so we are to try to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that passes all understanding, so that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Pursue God, pursue love. And if in pursuing love you find the person that is the love of your life, even the more better. I know I did. And then the third thing is pursue your calling. There is nothing, I shouldn't say nothing, of these three things, all of them are very fulfilling in our lives. To know God, to know love, but also to know your calling. There's nothing, there's nothing more fulfilling. one of the most fulfilling things you can do is to be in your place of calling. When I stand behind this pulpit, I know this is what I am called to do, to minister God's Word. And there is nothing, I'm doing it again, there's nothing more fulfilling. Oh well, I've said it. So think about it. What is God calling you to do? To be alive and remain until Jesus comes again. To be the glorious church. To share the gospel. To be that evangelist. Maybe there's a God project or a God vocation that He wants you to do. Maybe it's to be an author. To use your talent to bring glory to God. What is it that God has you to do for 2025? I remember in 2007, I was driving home from work. I had quite a drive, usually more an hour or more. And one day I was driving home, and I was just asking the Lord, Lord, what is it You want me to do? And out of the blue, I mean, just totally, completely unexpected, was, I want You to write. And it was kind of like, what? I've never been good at writing. I've never enjoyed writing. But that's what I felt like He said. I want You to write. And so, yeah, I have written, already published one book and have several others in process. Write. That's what God said. So whatever your calling might be, whatever your vision, dream, or revelation that God has given you, that is what you need to be doing. So how do we go about doing those? How do we fulfill that? Let me give you some keys to bringing your vision to life, to bringing your vision into manifestation in your life. One is success thinking. Because in the midst of trying to fulfill the will of God, there are going to be obstacles. But we need to view obstacles as opportunities. I read to you Colossians 1, 9 through 10, but verse 11 says, to be strengthened with all might, according as his glorious power, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with thanksgiving. So, as you are pursuing the will of God, you know what his will is. We looked at verse 9. We are then conforming our life, walking worthy, conforming our life to be in alignment with the will of God. So we are walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. We're seeing fruit. We're bearing fruit in every good work. We're increasing in our knowledge and understanding of God. And then comes the obstacles. So in the midst of those obstacles, we need to have a solution-oriented mindset. All patience, all long-suffering in the midst of it. Because we are doing God's will, he will lead us and guide us. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So challenges will come, but we stay under. We let patience have its perfect work as we're going through that. We should have the mindset to never give up. I will fulfill my calling. I will do what God has called me to do, and we just keep moving forward. So, obstacles are opportunities. The next one, long-term thinking. It's easy when we're in the midst of challenges to keep focused on what's happening right in front of us. We need to remember the goal. Remember the vision. What is it? That's why you put it on in that special place, to be able to go back to it and look at it again. What has God called me to do? What has God called me to do? What am I supposed to do? And as he walks you through it, you will become more and more proficient in doing what he's called you to do. So we remember the goal. We look at the end game. What is it we're trying to accomplish? But at the same time, we also need to focus on the journey, which is a real interesting way of looking at it. Most people don't look at it that way. Most people is like, got to get to the end, got to get to the end. They're trying to figure out, how do I get to the end? But the journey is just as important. Because what the Lord was showing me was that what you learn on the journey, as God is training you, as God is encouraging you, as God is showing you the steps to take, as God is giving you power, strength to be able to do it, as God brings about the right people, the right situations to be able to fulfill your dreams, what you begin to find out is what you learn on the journey actually becomes the fulfillment to the goal, the fulfillment to the calling. You have to look beyond the current and the urgent. In other words, don't get distracted. Yeah, there's going to be what they call the tyranny of the urgent. These things are calling. These things are calling. We have to learn to look beyond those. We have to learn to look beyond the quick and the easy. Well, I can just do it this way. Well, no, maybe that's not the way God has called you to do it. We don't want to get impatient. Look beyond the quick and easy. What is God saying to do? How is He directing your path? And then apply the right action in the circumstance that leads to success. And I get that from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So the prudent, or the man that has been trained, remember, prudence is one of the seven pillars of wisdom that we find in the book of Proverbs. And so prudence, the ability to investigate and to perceive what is going on around you in the situations that are presented to you, gives you the ability and the wisdom to be able to make the right choice. Now, this is listed in the negative here. He foresees the evil and he passes by, he ignores it, he gets beyond it. But it could also be done in the positive, and that is the prudent man foresees the good, that this is the right way to go. It may not seem right, but you know because you know God's voice, you know because you have developed wisdom that that's the right way to go. And so the prudent man is trained and goes in the right direction. The third thing, prioritize knowledge and skills. From Matthew 6:33, a verse we know well, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So what I'm emphasizing here initially is to get the knowledge of God. Understand His ways. Proverbs 2:3-5. Yes, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasure, then you shall understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So seek knowledge. Seek understanding. Keep prioritizing learning, especially about God's, about God and His ways. Become an expert in the calling, the destiny, or the project that God has you doing. So, yes, understand the Word of God and following God. Yes, that is so important, because this is what you're doing is a God journey. It may have a practical world application, but it is a God journey. God is taking you on that journey. So that's important to have that. But at the same time, in the midst of that, as God is training you and encouraging you and directing you, there may be worldly training, so to speak, practical training. So become an expert in whatever it is that you feel like God is calling you to do. So we've talked about the success thinking. We've talked about long-term thinking, about prioritizing knowledge, and then let's talk then about action, taking successful actions. And I kind of reiterated what we just went through about success thinking, about long-term thinking, and about knowledge, because I wanted to show you this scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. And besides this, giving diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. As I was thinking about this scripture, I realized that that's exactly what we've been talking about. God has called you to something. You are trusting Him to bring that into fruition in your life. So that is faith. And to your faith, God, this is what you have called me to do. And to your faith, add virtue. Virtue is another way. Well, let's just talk about virtue for a second, and then we'll apply it. Virtue here in the Greek actually means to be manly, to, as we would say it in our culture now, to man up, to step up to the calling. So it is similar to the success thinking. In other words, how do you handle the obstacles? How do you handle the challenges? So to your faith, you come, you man up, you take on an air of, I can do this and I will do this. It is a commitment to the calling. It is a commitment to the will of God. So you step up to it. I am going to do this. Nothing is going to stop me from doing this. So that is the virtue. And then to virtue, add knowledge. We just talked about that, prioritizing knowledge to your what God is calling you to then your commitment to it, add knowledge. Knowledge of the Word of God, knowledge in the field that you're looking to or are involved in. Then to knowledge, add temperance, self-control, discipline. We'll be talking more about that for the rest of this time. But see, that's the next thing. Add temperance, self-control. So you need to then take the things that God has called you to do, things He has showed you, and you need to take action on them. Do something. Incorporate it into your life. What do you need to do? How do you need to control yourself in order to accomplish those things? And to temperance, add patience. Wow. So patience then is continuing to be controlled, to control yourself, to be temperate. And then as you continue to do that, that's the patience, then you will see the fulfillment. And you'll, before you know it, all of a sudden you'll end up in godliness. In other words, you're doing things God's way. And then that just leads to the way you treat others and love. So, getting back to temperance, getting back to the actions that we need to incorporate. We use leverage by focusing on actions that yield the biggest returns. Take, for example, a salesman. He's got a product, a service that he's trying to sell. Well, he could spend his time trying to organize his contacts. You know, figure out, get them all worked out, you know, put them in alphabetical order or put them in order by where they live or that kind of thing. So you're spending all this time getting everything in order. Well, what good does that do? Because what's going to actually allow you to sell something is you got to pick up the phone or you got to knock on the door. See, that is going to take you somewhere. Just sitting around in Starbucks, organizing your contacts is going to be something. Maybe it's important. Maybe it's a good thing to do. But if you spend all your time doing that and don't actually get out there and do it, knock on the door, make the phone call. So we need to leverage the things that will give us the biggest return. The old 80-20 rule. 20% of actions will give you 80% of what you're looking for. Next, then, is to eliminate or minimize the vision-stealing activities, the wasteful things that one might do. Look at this from Mark chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. This is from the parable of the sower. And these are they which, having sown among thorns, such as hear the word. In other words, you know what God's will is. You know what God wants you to do. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So those are the things that we need to eliminate or to minimize, those vision-stealing activities. Surfing the internet or doing those things. You know what the things are in your life that tend to just waste time and deflect attention from what God has called you to do. I have a little practical illustration here I want to show you. This here represents your life. This is the confines of your life. Remember, we all have the same time, the same amount of time. And so what we put in that time is important. And there's lots of things in our life that we could put in there. There's, going back to the 80-20 rule, there's the leveraged activities that can really help us to get where we want to get to. There's the things that we have to do. And so let me kind of give you an illustration of what this kind of looks like. Now, this is from the positive perspective. So we've got some important priorities that need to be taken care of in our life. So we start by putting in the important priorities. And there could be several of them. Some of this might be our time with God, time in the Word, time in prayer, doing God's will, whatever He's called us to do. Could be school, could be work, sleep, health, things that keep us able to do the things that God has called us to do. So we fill up our lives with priorities, things that will help us to do what He has called us to do. But then there's other things. These are the important things in your life, because you need to go shopping. You still got to clean the toilet. There's laundry to do. There's food preparation. There's meals that have to be cooked. So they take up time, but they're important things. And so it's okay. It's okay to have them in there. Then there are other things. There's the fun. There's the leisure. There's surfing the internet, watching movies, watching TV. So those things get put into our lives. We make room for them, or we try to. And so, you know, they get in there. But now, we want to put more of this kind of stuff in. So often what that means is we got to start taking out some of the priorities. Well, don't have time for that anymore. Well, I really want to take care of, really want to do this. Well, I know it's not that important, but, you know, I think this semester I'm going to take off of school. You know, I have to get up so early these days. You know, I just don't have time to spend much time with God anymore. So, not going to take care of that. So, as we try to fit more things into our life, more of the non-essential things, it's easy to take out the priorities because they take up the most time often. So what ends up happening is we end up filling our life with the inconsequential or the a bunch of the other things that we decide we think is important. And then there's no place left for the priorities. So if this jar is all filled with sand and rocks, there's no place left to put the important things in life. So as we think about our lives, as we think about God's will and what He has for us, we need to consider these things. I have three things that I would like us to look at is what I would consider big balls. Things that are strategic to accomplishing what God has called us to accomplish. There are things that we've heard about. Apostle Joshua has been emphasizing these the last 3 or 4 years in particular, as God has been training and teaching him, and as he's been training and teaching us. I mean, I have found that these things have been invaluable in my life. You know, having lost my wife here in the last, 6 months ago, some people wondered, how do you do it? You seem to have it all together. Well, I don't have it all together. But I tell you what, these things that I'm going to talk about now, these things have been the difference. Because I'm committed to these things in my life, they have helped me to be able to work through and to walk through the situations in my life. They are indispensable. So let's talk about these, what I would call high-level activities, especially in these last days. The USPs, the unaware sins prayer. It's to release grace into our life. Really, what you'll find with all of these is it is taking us from just having Jesus as our Savior to really, in very practical ways, having Jesus as the Lord of our life. For Him not just to be Jesus, but for Him to be Christ in our lives. So, the USP, to release grace into our lives. Because we need grace in order to walk free of sin and of the challenges of the evil one. And of course, the unaware sins prayer is, Father, I am not aware of any sins. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that you have cleansed me of all unrighteousness, according to 1 John 1:9. This, of course, implies that you are, on a regular basis, whenever you sin, whenever you do sin, that you are confessing those sins and moving back into your relationship with God. But then the unaware sins, in the meantime, you are consciously aware of God and of walking with God, so that as you walk through your life, God's grace is there at every account. So we pray the USPs throughout the day to have the flow of God's grace during our day. And then there's the USP rapid fires. In other words, it's like praying affirmations. They are in a group. You might do 20, 25, 50, 100, whatever it might be. Rapid fire, so you just do them one after the other. The same prayer. Father, I'm not aware of any sins. And we have found that that releases even more grace, especially during challenging times that you might be going through, various situations. We have seen people healed from things that they had been dealing with for years. And as they do these rapid fire USPs, healing occurs. I've seen that in my own life as well. The second thing, important thing to do, is interval living. And it's to acknowledge God's direction and presence as you obey Him during your day. So based on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. So as you look at your day, you divide it up into time frames. Okay, you know, if you're at work, you're home, whatever you're doing, say, okay, for the next 3 hours, Father, what is it you want me to do? So He may show you some things. You need to take care of this project. You need to take care of this in your house. You need to do these things at work. Boss has instructed you, whatever it might be. But then you do it in relationship with Him because you're acknowledging Him. And so you're doing it as you move through your day. And so every few hours, you look at it again and say, okay, Lord, I took care of those things. Now what is it you want me to do? And so as you do that, it keeps you in close relationship with God. And then when you intersperse that with the USPs, it makes for a strong time, a strong day. And then the last one we'll talk about is covenant matrix. Your daily guide to fulfill your personal covenants with God. And I love my matrix. Sometimes it's easy to think about it as a list of things I have to do. And it can get, and in that kind of mindset, it can become legalistic. But that's not the point. The point is to develop a relationship with God. And so, just like you've been praying and asking God, what is your will? What do you desire from me? You pray, you ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? How should I conduct my day? You know, is there a time you want me to get up? Is there a time you want me to go to bed? What prayers? What affirmations? What things do you want me to do? So it's not about what Pastor Matthew has said or done. It's not about, you know, Pastor Joshua and what, you know, his list and the things that the Lord has shown him to do. It's about you. It's about you and God as you move forward in Him, as you draw closer to Him. What is he asking you to do? It may be two or three things. And you put that on a list. And you say, okay, these are the things that God wants me to do. I need to read this much of the Word, or take communion two times a day. Or, I mean, it could be a variety of things, certain affirmations that He wants you to do. And this list is flexible in the sense that you're following God. So there may be days that some particular thing, don't need to do it. There may be things that fall off your list and other things that God adds. But it's as you are growing, you put these things. And it's a covenant between you and God, not a duty list, but as your relationship with Him grows, it's your getting closer to Him. It's Him training and teaching you. There have been times in the last 6 months that I have felt depressed and felt like not wanting to do anything. And many times what has gotten me through it is my matrix. It's like, Lord, I need to do these things. And so then once I start doing what God has called me to do, then it's like the depression begins to lift. I felt strengthened and encouraged by the Lord as I'm doing prayers or affirmations or whatever it is that God has led me to do. It's an important part of our life. And you can see how these three things work together. Basically, what we're doing is we're letting Jesus be Lord of our life and following Him minute by minute. Like the scripture says, the sons of God will be led by the Spirit of God. And that's just what we're doing. We're being sons. We're being daughters. We're being His kids, being led by Him in a very practical ways, by staying under grace, by following His direction in what we do in our life, and by developing our relationship with Him. Okay. Now, getting back to that illustration that I did and what things that we've been talking about God's will, God's direction for you. In many ways, it may involve us doing some unpacking of our life. What kind of habits, what kind of fleshly or maybe even sinful type things have we allowed into our life? We've just gotten used to doing them and being involved with it. Where have we lost focus about what God has for us to do? It's easy just to let the things of life and the things that can happen in life just crowd out the priorities. So, unpacking your life can be frightening and challenging. But I've been doing that all my life. But I like that. But we need to examine, what does God have for us? What does God want for us? So spend time with Him. Spend time in prayer. What is God's will for you? Particularly, what does He want you to do in 2025? In terms of spending time with Him, write down what He tells you. Study the Word about it. Pray about it. Make it yours. Embrace it. Examine the way that you approach life, the ways that you think. How do you deal with obstacles, with distractions? What about your knowledge and understanding about God and what He wants you to do? Are your actions and your activities adding to or distracting from your goals from God? So yeah, unpacking your life can be fearful, but we need to courageously invest the changes that He has for us. Face the fears. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. Focus on God and all that He has for you. Face your fears. Face your sins. And then focus on the priorities that will get you to where you want to be. For 2025, sharpen your focus. Let me pray for us. Father, as we look to 2025, we know that You have Your will, Your desire for us, and the things that You want us to do or to continue doing. And Father, I just pray for us, that for all the people that are listening, that You would speak to them, that You would minister to them, that they would have a desire to do and to be all that You've called them to be alive when Jesus returns, to be the glorious church, to be your sons and your daughters, to be about their Father's business, to do what you have called them to do. Father, I pray that you would enlighten them, that you would strengthen them, that they would grab on to your will and your ways and follow you tenaciously, not letting anything disrupt, stop, or distract from what you have for them. Father, strengthen them by your Spirit. Give them understanding and help them, Father, to organize their life in such a way as to accomplish the things that you have called them to accomplish, to do the priorities, to prioritize the priorities, and to minimize the things that distract and to stop them. Thank you, and I praise you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Wow, that was really motivating, Pastor Matthew. Thank you so much. What a send-off from 2024 into 2025. Wow, wasn't it just yesterday we were talking about Y2K? Anybody remember Y2K? Time marches on. And the good news is that every day is a day closer to the return of Jesus. Woo! Are we excited? So we look forward to the new year. Yes, it's going to have its challenges, but the joyous thing is to know that we're getting closer to the physical meeting with our precious Jesus face to face. What a wonderful goal, and it's so close now. We all need to hang on. We all need to cling to that vision. We all need to implement that vision. We need to be hearers and doers. You know, hearers don't cut it. Hearers hear it and they make mental note and mental assertions. But you know, it's not until you put it into action that you really learn it, that it really becomes a part of you. We all need to be hearers and doers. We like to think that we are, but let's analyze, each one of us analyze. Are we? Are we doing it? Or are we just thinking about it? Because we need to do it. And these, I want to say suggestions. Pastor Matthew is being gentle and calling them suggestions, but they are priorities. So let his suggestions be more than a suggestion. Let it be a mandate from God. Let God tell you. Ask him. Ask the Holy Spirit to tell you how important these things are and how you can implement them in your lives. If you're not already doing them, I can't stress enough how very, very, capital V, capital E, capital R, capital Y, how very important they are for all of us if we're going to be alive and remain when Jesus returns. Crucial is a word I would use. Absolutely crucial. So it's really, don't see it as just a suggestion. See it as, okay, Lord, how do I do this? Show me, step by step, hand in hand, walk with me through this. Because we need the Lord's help more than we can ever imagine. We're in these last days already. We're in the book of Revelation already. As best we can tell, seals 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 have been opened. We're just waiting for 6. And 6 will be very obvious. As has been taught, I'm not going into that now. We should all know what that is and what to expect. The last days are here. They're already bad, and they're getting worse. So we need to pay attention. to the Word of God. We need to pay attention to the voice of God. We need to apply what He's telling us to do. And just, I don't know, Nike came up with this really wonderful phrase that they use that I can keep adapting for spiritual life too, is just do it. Don't be hesitant. Don't be fearful. Don't hold back. If God's telling you to do it, then just do it. He'll be there with you. He'll help you through. He'll partner with you. Just reach out and grab His hand and let Him lead you. That's true for each and every one of us. We need Him more than ever before. We look to Him more than ever before. And we do what He's called us to do, because that is part of our salvation package. That's part of the salvation and the lordship of Jesus. Remember, we want to be part of the body of Christ. We want Jesus to be not just our Savior, but our Lord. With Him as the Lord of our lives, walking step by step with Him. You know, He knows the minefield ahead. He knows where we should go and where we shouldn't go. He knows what we should do and what we shouldn't do. He knows what we should say and what we shouldn't say. All of it needs to be by His leading and His guiding and His direction. So, if you need to listen again to Pastor Matthew's teaching, then by all means, listen to it again. Study the outline and see how you can apply that in your lives. So very awesome, important. So with that, let's go into communion. You know, it is just such a wonderful privilege that Jesus has given us what we call communion, where He has made His body and His blood and all the sacrifices that He's made for us and all the purchases that He's made for us with His body and His blood. He's made them available to us ongoing. The benefits we can receive ongoing by partaking of His body and His blood to receive all that He has for us. I know that Pastor Matthew mentioned communion as part of the covenant matrix. I can't think of anything that would be more important to be sure that it is a part of. And the more times, the more we invest in the benefits that belong to us. I know that personally, both Apostle Joshua and I do it 5 times a day, every day, 5 times. Happens to be the number of grace, but it's what God has called us to do. And so we do it with joy, receiving from our Jesus. So right now, let's confess any sins, do a USP, whichever is appropriate for you right at this moment. And I'll be back in just a moment to lead us in communion. We thank You, Father, that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread, He blessed it, He broke it, He said, take this, eat it, this is My body broken for you, this do in remembrance of Me. Your body took those 39 lashes of that terrible whip that ripped your body apart, and You took that to pay the price for us, for every sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain that would ever be known to mankind. You paid that price, Jesus, for all of us. And we thank You. You suffered so greatly so that we could walk free, that we could walk in health and healing and wholeness and restoration and rejuvenation, that our bodies are free to serve You all out, to focus on You, Lord. We are so grateful that you are our Jehovah Rapha. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We can't thank you enough. It's such a wonderful gift. We can thank you every time we partake. And so we do it together, Lord, as we now partake of your broken body. Let's just say, thank you, Jesus. And after the supper on that same night, Jesus took the cup and said, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins. This do in remembrance of me. Your blood washed away every one of our sins. And if there's no sin, there's no price to be paid for sin, no wages of sin. All washed away by your precious blood. And your precious, powerful, awesome blood has sealed the old covenant and established the new covenant, all full of promises and weapons and tools and everything that we would ever need. Jesus, you paid the price for us for everything. You knew in advance. You know the end from the beginning, and you knew what we would need, and you made it available to us. And we receive ongoing every day as we move forward. We receive from you, Lord, your power, your strength, your life, your health, your wisdom, your guidance, your direction, your protection, your provision, your everything, Jesus. You are our everything. You are our all in all. We are complete in you, Christ Jesus. And we thank you as we now partake together of your precious blood. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, wow. Jesus is so wonderful. And he is our Jehovah Rapha. That means he's the God, our healer. And so that means that we can boldly say that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So let's all join in together and do that 20 times. Ready? We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Excuse me. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Woo! That name above all names. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How awesome.